I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What's your story? That's what we need for the Christmas story. What's your story? And by that, really what I mean is, if we had to put your life on a shelf at Barnes & Noble, in what section would we find you? Would it be drama? A lot of you, it would. Be honest. There's a lot of drama. Would it be fantasy? Mystery? Well, what about romance? Romance? Maybe. Okay, think about it. I want you to hold on to that thought, but I want you to hear this story first. And boy, do I love this story. Now, I'm too young to have been a part of this story, but back in 1961, the Cold War was getting real heated as America, which was the self-proclaimed one nation under God, was racing to get to space ahead of a communist Russia that insisted the road is wider without God. I didn't realize they were so atheist in their beliefs. So when Yuri Gagarin returned from the first space flight, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev mockingly announced that not only did they make it to space first, but they checked and there was no God up there either. Legitimately, check this out. Here's one of the many condescending propaganda posters that they printed up just to stick it to us that says, no God, no God here. We checked. Wow. That's kind of a deep burn. That's rough, actually. So as, you know, America kind of really took that one on the chin. And as we were sitting there licking our wounds, thank goodness, a magazine in New York reached out to C.S. Lewis for a rebuttal, because that's where you go. I thought, oh boy, that's great. And so in his rebuttal, C.S. Lewis delivers one of my all-time favorite mic drop moments, where he says, okay, looking for God or heaven by exploring space is like reading all Shakespeare's plays in the hope that you will find Shakespeare in it as one of the characters. Which, of course, you wouldn't, right? That's perfect. He's the author. He's not a character. Therefore, as Lewis goes on, and these are his words, if there were an idiot, you just don't hear him talk like that. If there were an idiot who thought plays exist on their own without an author, well, our belief in Shakespeare would not be much affected by this idiot saying, quite truly, that he had studied all the plays and never found Shakespeare in them. Booyah! Right? Duh! That's good. That's good. We shouldn't expect to find the author in their own book, right? Because it's part of them. They're not part of it. That's not how it works. So it's totally reasonable to assume that God wouldn't fully be contained or observed inside his own creation, right? Bits and pieces, and for sure, but not the entirety of him. As he himself says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, right? Because he's beyond our books down here. Now us, on the other hand, totally different story. Us, we fit quite neatly inside this universe with a lot of room to spare, right? No problem there. As a matter of fact, all the days ordained for me were written in God's book before one of them came to be, because we existed outside in God's mind. But now we live inside creation in the story. And so we act out each of his carefully crafted characters in the greatest story that has ever been told, because it is an absolutely epic choose-your-own-adventure where you get to be the star, and reading your lines just means living them out. Just like that. That's how it works. Right on cue. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's when that happens, when we live out our lines, play that role, that's when this universe takes on a life of its own. But, okay, to get this straight, before we go any further, before you can really cast yourself into the story like you're supposed to, we need to start with a very simple correction that's very important, courtesy of George MacDonald. You do not have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. Okay, you get that? Make sure we get that backwards a lot. We say it the wrong way. You are a soul. You have a body. You were conceived in the mind of God before human history. And then you were breathed into a body when God wrote your birth into his story. So whatever you do, don't confuse yourself with the character that you're playing, or you'll lose yourself in the world, in the story. Your human life is the character that you have been cast as, but there's a true you. There's a true you, and that true you calls the shots and gets to decide how to play the role. And I love how John Eldridge kind of puts the same idea in his book, Epic. Really short book that just nails down the sort of basic functions of reality here. He says, I've been dropped into the middle of an ongoing story, invited to embark on a journey to be the hero, to be the hero in the part of the story when my character has been introduced. It's true. You're called to be the hero of your part. And perhaps that is why all of us, Christian or not, relate to Shakespeare. We've made it a very famous saying when he said, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women, merely players. We all kind of agree with that. We know that to be true deep down. And that's just, it's an excellent analogy. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. But hang on. It is a great analogy. I just realized, though, as I was writing this and thinking about this, it's a great analogy, but it's bad news. It is bad news because the characters are the ones that are inside the story, right? While the author writes it from the outside. And that's a big barrier. That is a big barrier, insurmountable. Lewis actually realized this problem, and so he wrestled with it himself in his book, Surprised by Joy, where he says, I could no more meet God than Hamlet could meet Shakespeare. It's true. It's unfortunate because God was out of reach, right? He's out of human reach in the same way that authors are beyond the characters that they create. They don't even know to look for them. But even if Hamlet suspected somehow, if Hamlet thought to himself, maybe I'm in a play, maybe this is all not real, and he decides to go looking for the author, as Lewis said in his Russian rebuttal, he wouldn't find Shakespeare anywhere inside the story. So we're stuck. That's a bummer. Good night. Yeah. No, that would be terrible, right? Like, if that was the end of it, we're in big trouble. But it's not all bad news, okay? This is where things take a turn. Because if you think about it in another sense, Hamlet would find Shakespeare everywhere. Everywhere. Because good authors pour themselves into their stories. They express their heart in every single inch that they create as it becomes an extension of their very being, right? We can feel that. And then we connect through that work, whatever that they have created, to the creator behind it. And that is why I'm pretty sure that Matt Groening and Steven Spielberg and I would all be best friends. Because I watch Futurama and Back to the Future and the rest of their work, and I think that we are just the same guy. And when I see that stuff, I go, oh, me too. And because it makes me feel like I really know who they are. And so I know the creator from their creation. And the same goes for God and all of his works, which are quite a bit, because since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made by him. Because this world and absolutely everything inside it is God's big production. And by living it, you can come to know him, just like you can anybody else who creates anything. But in your life, in this world that he's created, in your life, you can learn joy and sorrow. You can patience and purpose. You can love and hate. And all the while you're learning these things, you can be sorting the story into good and bad in a way that'll shed light on who the author is. And this is kind of what C.S. Lewis himself went through. He came to understand God by seeing how the whole rest of the universe only made perfect sense if there was a God who authored it. And he said, another wonderful quote, he said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else." It makes it all make sense. And that makes sense to us. I mean, if you just stop and think about it, because humans discover things that we can't see by their effect on the things that we can see. Right? That's how we know. If you can't see it, you'd be oblivious to it unless they had an effect on something. We would miss gravity without Newton's apple, right? We wouldn't even think twice about it until that happened. What made that happen? We would miss viruses without the sickness that we see, and we would miss the creator without the creation that we see. And we've been given all of creation as an explicit and persistent clue to who must be behind it. Bottom line is this: we simply cannot ignore God. I tried. I spent a lot of my life trying to ignore it, but you can't, because it's everywhere. And as you see all these things, you realize some simple truths, like, you know, every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. There's somebody behind it. And you can learn a lot that way by seeing things. You can learn a lot about a builder by what they build, right? Of course you can. We architects, that's why we know their names. But then what? You know a lot about them, then what? I mean, knowing about God is a huge step, very important, gets everything into motion, but it is just that. It's a step, a first step. And what it does actually is raise more questions and concerns. So there's an author, okay? Why is he writing the story? What does he want with me? Why am I in it? What am I supposed to do? And why on earth should I? Those are natural questions, but they're questions that we can only speculate about without hearing God's heart personally, that you got to ask him. We can only guess. I can see what the world takes shape and why it is the way it is and guess, but I don't know for certain unless he tells me. I need to know his heart personally. And here's the big problem. That's not up to us. I can't go meet him. I can't go upstairs and knock on his door. We need a very real relationship. But just as C.S. Lewis noted, Hamlet could initiate nothing on his own. For the character to meet his maker, it must be Shakespeare's doing. The writer has to make the decision. And so for us to know God's heart, our author would have to take the action. We can't do it. So I got a question. You ever read Dorothy Sayers? Anybody here ever read Dorothy Sayers? That popular, huh? Me neither. I didn't really. I know about her. I know stories about, but I haven't read her. I've changed it. I ordered one of these books because I'm very curious about it. But she was one of the first women to graduate from Oxford University. Very smart. Contemporary of like Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and stuff. And she wrote many acclaimed books, including a series of novels about a fictional detective named Peter Wimsey. And as the series of books progressed, we kind of read along, and Peter's character develops into this, is revealed to be this unhappy, sort of broken bachelor type. And it's just, you know, solving mysteries, but kind of a bummer of a guy. And that's the way that it goes until there's a moment in the series where he meets and marries a brand new character named Harriet. And what do you know? What do you know? Harriet was one of the first women to graduate from Oxford. And she just happened to write mystery novels. Yeah. What are the coincidences? Can you believe it? Here's what happened. You see, as she wrote, Sayers looked into the world that she had created. And she fell in love with her own character, Peter. And because she had created him, she knew what he needed to be completed. So because of her love, she wrote herself into her own story to save her soulmate. So did God. Okay? This is the point of the message here. So did God. That is a true story. That is what really happened. He looked into the world that he created and he fell in love with us. And our author knew exactly what we needed to be completed. Because he knew that we are broken when we are apart from him, and we are only healed when we are a part of him. Because it takes two to make true love true. And that is what he is. He is true love. So about 2,000 years ago in the town of Bethlehem, God wrote himself into his book on the very first Christmas. And in an instant, at that moment, human life was no longer a mystery. It was now a love story. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Save the world through him because of his love. Now, because inside his book, no one has ever seen God. But the one and only Son, who is himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Right, because he's the author in his book. He's the author. And as the author, inside of his own story, only Jesus can say, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. He gets to talk to the author on the outside. And he says, I've made you known to them, and will continue to make you known to them in order that the love that you have for me may be in them. The Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life, of course, because he's from the other side. He's from that place of eternal life. So he says, whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Because this is all, everything that we're doing here, since the beginning, all of this is just God's story coming to life. That's what we're doing. It's his story, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him, all things were made. In him was real life, like the stuff that's outside the book, where real life exists. And that life was the light of all mankind, giving us a peek at that path that leads out to the other side, where real life is. Whoever believes in me, he says, does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me from the outside. You're seeing the author. That's who I am. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness down here. Other side, the light, where life is, where the author is. I mean, come on. You already know it's dark down here. You already know. You know the setting of your book, no matter what. Because this world is strange, it is surprising, and it is scary. But God, the author, gave us his Son and his Word to light up and fight off the deep, daunting dark of the way out. And that's what he wants us to do. Light it up and get out. Because the way was steep and long, and through a strange and lonely land, God placed upon my lips a song and put a lantern in my hand. So true. And that is love. That is love. He gave us the whole rest of the story. Spoiled the ending. It's a happy ending. Spoiled the ending, though. Gave us the whole story in a handbook that we can carry around. It's called the Bible. Gave us the whole story in a handbook to handle the confusion, to build our confidence, and to lead us to Jesus so we could be loved. Because that's what we need. Because only his love can complete our character and take us to that happily everlasting afterlife. That's what we're destined for. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. That's all he's working on, getting us out. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So, yeah, you know, it's true that no one has ever seen God. But, and this is a big but, if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. That's how it works. He wrote the book on us, guys. He knows everything about you and me and this whole place. He wrote the book on us, and when we live and love like him, we have finally played the role that we are born to play, the role that begins and ends as a part of God. And that is important. That's what you want to be. Because as part of God, you live on in him on the other side. That's how you get out. That right there is how our author draws us out of the story and back into real life. That's how we do it. So if you personally, if that sounds good to you, sounds good to me, if you want a part in the true meaning of Christmas, as the moment that love drove God into your story, which is what it is, then don't sit at home and just hog all the nog. That's an option. You can do that. You can try and ignore things and just clausmas. You can do that. You can just do that. But instead, let love drive you into the stories of those that are around you, because they're everywhere. Look at all these stories right around you. You can let love drive you into their stories, and then you can give them a glimpse of the exact same Christmas spirit that gave you the gift of life. So get to know the Lord, absolutely, but then share the tale about the author who so loved you that he wrote the Christmas story into yours to seek you out, to sweep you off your feet, and to save your life. Do that. Tell him that. I mean, after all, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And to play his part, you got to take a page from his book, and that means following his heart. So again, this Christmas, show your love by making your presence, your physical presence, your Christmas presence. Bring real life to one of God's characters by writing yourself into someone else's story. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we are just in absolute awe of your love, and we thank you for pouring yourself into our lives through your word and your Son. Holy Spirit, just guide us as we play our part in your plan by living out your love in the lives all around us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for being born to defeat death, to give us a way out of our short stories and into eternal life. And to that, everybody said, Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.